Hey everybody, fantastic episode of the Daily Bone podcast today. We talk about crypto's dump and BlackRock's first day of Bitcoin ETF outflows ever. We talk about bottom signals for the NFT market, including some breaking news of a $12 million alien CryptoPunk sale. And then we're joined by Mando, an absolute legend on crypto and NFT Twitter. He's well known for selling $9 million worth of Bored Apes with his business partner OSF before that was even a thing. It was kind of like a demonstration of what you can do with Blur. We talk about everything from crypto to meme coins to NFTs to, you know, Bitcoin versus AI stocks. We talk about a lot. It's a great episode of the show. It's brought to you in partnership with Honeyland, the crypto-based mobile game that has over 20,000 daily active users, over 20,000 DAUs. It's a very, very interesting video game entity in the crypto space, Honeyland. Make sure you check them out in the App Store, just the regular App Store, nothing weird, just the Apple App Store and the Google App Store. Anyway, hope you enjoy the show. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Daily Bone podcast, Thursday, April 25th. Lot to talk about today. Going to be discussing the majors in crypto, Bitcoin, Ethereum, Solana. Of course, the meme coin sector of the market, a fan favorite, and the things that people don't care about anymore. Of course, NFTs. Nah, just kidding. The riskiest of the risky there. Anyway, today we're going to discuss yesterday's crypto dump and BlackRock's first day of Bitcoin ETF outflows ever. It was bound to happen. But eventually, folks, we were going to discuss bottom signals for NFTs on Twitter. I mean, oh my goodness. Yesterday and the day before, Twitter was littered with bottom signals. I hope Clemente was collecting them because there are quite a few. And if we post one of your tweets or show one of your tweets and say it's a bottom signal, that is not a personal attack against you. That is just pointing out your tweet as a bottom signal. I'm sure I've had tweets that signal tops and bottoms before too. And about halfway through the show, we're going to be joined by the one and only Mando, an absolute legend in the NFT and crypto space, famously known for selling 74 Bored Apes into bids on Blur for $9 million in February last year with his business partner, OSF. Nobody had really done something like that before. Blur made it possible. They took advantage. Obviously, it was a good move knowing what we know now. This is the second time or third time that Mando's ever been on the show, but it's the first time that he's been on by himself. So we're really excited to have him on. This is going to be awesome. And we're going to talk all things crypto and meme coins in 2024. Nick is here on audio. He's not on video yet, but Clemente wants me to ask him if he knows that his Cool Man's Universe he owns is going to get him Cool Token on Solana. So these bad boys are up 5x to 0.09 ETH. Nick, what do you think?
Sounds like I should dump it.
I would
pull it out and dump it right now. I'd pull out the ledger wherever it's stored and floor this thing. I would take the ETH offer.
I would too. They are they're teasing this Cool Token, Nick, on Sol. I think 3% of the supply or something goes to the Cool Man's Universe. 90% is going to the LP, but they've been trying to pump this thing. I think it's the one last exit liquidity for your Cool Man's. So
what's the floor price now? $50?
$109. No, like $250.
Yay.
Sorry, Nick. We're trying to give you some alpha, dude. I'm looking out for you. And you're like, oh, it's only $250.
Dude, I lost like $3,000 on each individual trade that each of y'all have suggested over the past couple of months. So I'm picking up pennies on the way.
Nobody said pressing buttons was easy. And the more you do it, the more likely you are to lose money, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, today's show is brought to you in partnership with Honeyland, the crypto-based mobile game with over 20,000 daily active users. I don't know if you heard me say that. 20,000 daily active users, ladies and gentlemen, DAUs. We've been talking about gaming. We love to see gaming entities continue to develop in the NFT and crypto space. Easy and Clemente did a kick-ass live stream yesterday with the CEO and one of the team members at Honeyland. How did that go?
It was awesome. Like, to be completely honest, it was awesome. Me and Clemente were messaging on the side.
Please be completely honest, Easy, about how awesome it was.
I mean, I'm playing the game now. Like, me and Clemente were messaging on the side, and we're like, oh, dude, this is an addicting game. Like, I want to play. We were looking at the NFTs to buy during it, and I'm hooked. Like, you have set amount of energy you can use. I fly through it every hour just because, like, the game's actually enjoyable. Fully on mobile, you don't even need a crypto wallet. Can sign up with email. Makes the onboarding process extremely easy. So I'm not surprised to see the massive success that they're having. On top of that, huge HXD airdrop coming up here that people playing now can level up and get early exposure to. If you have a Bodogos, you get a bonus as well. So it's awesome to be working with them. I think the game is truly fun, which is tough to say in a market where a lot of people just play games for airdrops. This is one that I could see myself continuing to play regardless of the HXD airdrop because it doesn't take a lot of time. Like, you can sit there 15, 20 minutes a day and you're just good to go. And it just kind of is a nice distraction at times to just dive in and play. And on top of it, there's NFT involvement, but you don't even need to know that there's NFTs. So, like, that's the big claim to fame that I think they're crushing, is their ability to make it as seamless as possible for users inside and outside the NFT space. On the App Store, works with Apple Pay. On the Google Play Store, works with Android Pay. So you truly need nothing when it comes to actually using a NFT game without even needing to know that crypto's involved. So it's smash hit, in my opinion.
Hell yeah. Clemente, anything else? The only thing I'll say that's also interesting is the way they integrate their HXD token into it. And like, they're generating money that they make through the game, through the HXD token, they burn some of it. So last quarter, for just give you guys an example, they burned $175,000 of their HXD token because the amount that goes to in-app purchases, they take a percentage and they burn that thing. So they're crushing it. I'm going to start playing the game a lot more, and Easy and I have been doing a little competition on who can level up their bees. But yeah, we're super excited to be partnering with them. Love to hear it. Really enjoyed having the CEO on the show. I guess it was earlier this week, as time flies, but he had a great camera, great energy, and gave some great perspective on Honeyland. Ladies and gentlemen, you can download Honeyland on the App Store. That's just the regular App Store, not some weird crypto thing, just the App Store, and play to get your share of the $30,000 worth of HXD token that is distributed every single day. You heard that correctly. This is an actual functioning crypto game that's enjoyable to play, that has your typical crypto rewards mechanics. Crazy idea, ladies and gentlemen. Check it out in the App Store, Honeyland. Anyway, let's dive into this weather report. Signal, whenever you are ready, please take it away.
Absolutely, PO. Today, that's Thursday, April 25th. That ETH market volume is coming at 17 million. Solana market volume at 8 million. Ordinal North is at 9.3. If we look at the market leaders on Ethereum, Apes, they're back up to 14 ETH. Redacted Remedios, though, they are down to 1.7 ETH. Over on Solana, you got Joe Bowden, they're up to 4.9. Sol and Parcel is down to 5.7. Finally, over on Ordinal side, you got Prometheans, they're back to 0.06. And Node Monkeys, they're back up to almost 0.4 BTC. On the crypto roundup, the majors have dumped in the last 24 hours after we saw 120 million of net outflows from the ETF. Bitcoin is down to 64K. Ethereum is down to 3,100. And Solana is down to $146. Onto the meme coin side of things, though, as well, mostly things are in the red. You got Hobbs and Popcat. They're both down almost 30% on the day. Epic and Manake buck the trend, though, and they're both up 10% over the last 24 hours. By the way, if you have one of those Saga phones, either edition one or two, you may have got an airdrop, which is now worth over $100 of the token Manake. Over the past 24 hours, top three stories. Firstly, Blast Social Fight app Fantasy Top announced that their pack opening and trading goes live today at 11 a.m. Eastern, with a competition for over 200,000 Blast Gold to begin on Monday. Fantasy Top was awarded the second highest allocation of Blast Gold and has achieved over 63 million in TVL just in the last 3 days after users have deposited. Secondly, over on Ordinals, over on Runes, Doggo to the Moon was airdropped to Runestone holders and has traded more than 7 million in volume on Magic Eden. It was also listed on Gate.io and currently sits at the top of the Rune market with a 370 million market cap. And lastly, Bloomberg mentioned Bonk with Telegram bots and Pump.fun in an article about hedge funds entering the meme coin market. WIF is down 16% on the day and currently sits at a 2.9 billion market cap. That is all for the weather report. It is back to you folks in the studio.
Fantastic weather report as usual. I love legacy finance. TradFi writing about meme coin mania and how investors are scrambling to get exposure to the brand new asset class. I love that stuff. That's a lot of fun. And it's cool to see Bonk getting crazy recognition. It's definitely a major at this point. Anyway, some updates from the Daily Bone newsletter. Clemente, what are you shaking your head about Bonk for? No. Every time I open a legacy like media page now, I get bombarded with pop-up ads. Everything is gated now, and my computer like shuts down.
That's what extinction looks like, Clemente. They just can't figure it out. They're like, we're just going extinct, man. I don't know what to tell you. Anyway, Daily Bone newsletter is emailed to anybody that subscribes at dailybones.com. Goes out 5 days a week. I've heard rumblings that Clemente is going to have it go out on Saturdays too. I don't know what the details are on that. Anyway, first story, the buy Bitcoin sign that was held behind Janet Yellen during a 2017 congressional testimony sold at auction for 16 Bitcoins, $1 million. That's a pretty interesting collectible. The original buy Bitcoin sign. Some rich guy is going to have that in his house for a long time, and I bet he's got a lot more Bitcoin where that came from. Next story, Hong Kong crypto ETFs are slated to start trading next Tuesday, April 30th. The Hong Kong ETF market, ladies and gentlemen, is a fraction of the size of the United States one, so don't expect that to light the world on fire and pump the assets too much. Next story, U.S. federal prosecutors charge founders. This is a big one. They charged the founders of crypto mixer Samurai Wallet with conspiracy to commit money laundering and seize their website domain. So a lot of crypto native people, freedom fighters, not happy about this story. It's a tough one. Next story, meme coin launchpad and trading platform Trugly launches on Base today at 11 p.m. Eastern time, so late night, with Genesis meme coin RWASS, Real World Assets. So interesting launch later today. President Biden proposed a 44.6% capital gains tax, the highest in history. The proposal also includes a 25% tax on unrealized gains for high net worth individuals. This is not going to happen, ladies and gentlemen. Last one, the viral nightclub meme of the man shouting in a woman's ear. I think a lot of people in crypto have used it. I actually, fun fact, once had a viral post with this meme at the beginning of the previous bear market. So this is the man shouting in the woman's ear from 2018. It's the original sold on Foundation for 15 Ethereum. So it'll be interesting to see how these like OG memes, if people start selling them, what the kind of prices are for this stuff. I mean, it's actually,
I've been to that club. I didn't meet him when I was there, but I have been to that club in
where
Edinburgh.
Is this club?
This is in Edinburgh in Scotland. And it's like any other club. It's pretty danky to tell you the truth in there. But yeah, I just love it because that is such a Scottish girl's look on her face. Like, hey, no, sorry, wrong accent. I'm not going to do Scottish. It's a little bit complicated. My mind's gone blank. You know what? I can't do it. My mind's gone blank.
It's okay. Signal's really... really good at several accents, ladies and gentlemen. So I always get excited if she's going to do one. But no worries at all, Signal.
Hey, I'm Scottish.
Nick, can we get one more?
Hey, Scottish Nick here.
What do you do on the weekend, Scottish Nick?
I drink beer.
Wow, there you go. Nice stereotype. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, those are your
stories. I'm trying to get my camera working, by the way. Stupid thing, but I'll be there.
No worries, buddy. We'll be here when you're ready. Anyway, those are the stories from the Daily Bone newsletter. Make sure you subscribe at dailybones.com. That goes out 5 days a week, maybe six soon.
Look, hey, thanks for that.
First story, we got crypto pulling back a little bit. The majors dropped 5 to 10% as we saw $120 million in net outflows from the Bitcoin ETFs on the whole, with BlackRock's Bitcoin ETF IBIT failing to record inflows for the first time since launch on January 11th. Real quick, Clemente, can you Google how many business days have happened between January 11th and now, April 25th? Our researcher Ray's just all over this, so forgive me. Clemente does not have to look that up. That's a 71 business day streak. So, Clemente, you know, it seems like the ETFs have plateaued for now. Can we just take a minute? 71 days of inflows. I love it. That is an absolutely epic run from launch. You know, it's got to have a day of outflows eventually, ladies and gentlemen. So that's awesome. I love it. Peter Schiff, Ray pulled a Peter Schiff quote right here on the price action. Peter Schiff, a gold bug, a gold bull, and probably the most iconic Bitcoin bear at this point, ladies and gentlemen. He said, it's not looking good for hodlers. You guys need to hope Bitcoin can hold 60K. Otherwise, it's a long way down. All the hardcore Bitcoiners are used to big drops, but the newbies who own the ETFs are in for a rude awakening. I absolutely love it. Nick, I don't know if you have charts open as you try to fix your camera, but we'd love to hear what you're looking for on the charts.
Walk through a chart while my stupid computer is messing up. Well, it's down right now, Pio.
Okay.
It's down. We're going down. We got rejected. Same with Solana was the one that I was looking at. If you look at the daily on Solana, it tried to break above a level that I have, which is 155, got rejected. We're pulling back there. Although that's still in a bullish structure. Bitcoin still bullish, although it's about to try and retest again, 61,328. He is correct that it's a ways down from that level. I don't know where we go. 52,000 is the next level. What's the next level down you got on Bitcoin, Easy?
Let me pull up the chart.
I think we should have Easy pull up his chart. Some commenters weighing in saying Rom nailed it, because when Rom came on the show the other day, he kind of called this price action. Someone then just said he owns Bitcoin. He knows exactly what he's doing. I appreciate the level of influence that you all think that this show is, but I don't think that Rom thinks coming on our morning podcast is going to bury the price of Bitcoin.
I think he's referring to Peter Schiff owning Bitcoin.
Oh, Peter Schiff. It would make sense for Peter. I don't know. It's tough for me to tell if Peter Schiff's, if it's all an act, but he is one of the biggest Bitcoin influencers in his own way at this point.
This chart is ugly, man. This is not looking good. We break under 61.8 and we're looking pretty bleak.
61,328.
Yeah, I'm sitting at 61,802 is where I'm looking here. Underneath that, 54. Hopefully, right around there.
I'm at a little bit lower, 53. But it's tested hard. 1, 2. I mean, at this point, you would expect a breakdown.
Yeah. Nick, what'd you say, 53?
My level is at. Well, now that my computer is restarting, so I'm screwed, but if 51, 52, something like that.
Yeah. I'm looking 53,031 is kind of where the next
53,000 US
one.
Okay.
How many cents on that one? Easy.
I mean, I'm just reading the charts, just looking at the tickers. I got two lines here. I know you got 64 lines and that's why the computer's frozen.
I don't think that's why my computer's frozen, but okay.
Well, I mean, look, you guys are doing a great job, but we have our guest here a little bit early, and I think it's probably appropriate to bring him on if he's ready. I see a smile. I think that means he's ready. We have one half, or I guess one third of FOMO Hour, the one and only Mando, the founder
of Epic
Duck. We're good, man. Welcome to the show.
Good to see you guys. I think this is the first time I've been on the show in like a year. It's good to be back.
It's also your first time coming on solo. It's also a brand new camera, if I'm not mistaken. Am I right about that, buddy?
Well, I've had it every day for the last year. But yeah, I think last time I came on, it probably was a bad camera. We were less professional than you guys for a long time.
Well, I love the catch up here. You look great. Love the framing. So anyway, what do you make of what's going on with the price action for the majors? We're seeing a pullback. A lot of people are getting scared. Is this something you even care about?
I mean, today it seems to be a bit of pullback on a few different things, right? You had the ETH ETF, sounds like it's going to be rejected. You had the first day of BlackRock not having inflows in whatever, it's 72 days. And then just now you had a GDP print, which points to probably persistent inflation and slightly slowing growth. So everyone's going to be talking about stagflation, I think, for the next few weeks. We have another inflation print on Friday, which is like the PCE inflation, which is what the Fed generally look at. So that will be very, very important now. So I think people will be like, it'll probably be a little bit volatile until then. But I think Bitcoin still looks really good, right? Like, even on all of that, tech stocks last week had their worst week in many, many, many months. Most tech stocks tech stocks reverse kind of all their year-to-date gains in a week. And then you've had a bad set of earnings even for like Meta. And Bitcoin still kind of hang out 10% below its all-time high. Bitcoin looks really good to me. Altcoins don't look so good. They all got absolutely eviscerated. You know, like Bitcoin went down 5% and everything else just like got absolutely destroyed. So I think in the space of the last month, most altcoins are down like 50% or 30 to 50%. And meme coins, some of them, you know, have been completely destroyed in that move too. So if you're just a Bitcoin guy, like, yeah, this is healthy. The chart looks healthy to me. Like, leverage is low. Open interest is very, very low compared to where the price is. I think the last time funding actually went negative, Bitcoin giga sent from 26K to 42K or whatever it was. It went negative last week again. So everything looks healthy to me in Bitcoin. And even with this macro sell-off, things still look okay. But yeah, I think what this has really shown the last week is that this is such a Bitcoin-led rally. Like, there aren't that many new wallets here. We're kind of swapping altcoin bags and meme coin bags between ourselves, and then as soon as Bitcoin gets a cold, yeah, all the altcoins just die because there's no actual other buyer than just Bitcoin. It feels like, that's where a lot of the inflows are coming.
And I know I'm taking kind of an extreme take, but isn't that just kind of how it always is? Like, isn't Bitcoin just does Bitcoin not just completely influence everything? Like, is it not just whatever Bitcoin's doing, everything else follows?
Yeah, I would say it's a massive part of it. But think about last cycle, right? Last cycle, Bitcoin dominance went down quite a lot. And actually, Bitcoin was really boring last cycle. A lot of people were like, I'm an ETH. ETH's the thing to own. And you had that whole L1 rotation. Like, every single week, people would be putting billions, tens of billions of dollars into different L1s. Like, you go into Phantom, everyone would be farming that. Everyone goes to AVAX, everyone would be farming that. And it was like, there was a lot more L1 rotation. Really now it's been Solana, which has got a lot of adoption this cycle, but none of the other L1s have really, they've kind of pumped, but not under TVL. I think Sui had like a bit of more TVL so far this cycle, but most of them have just kind of stayed where they were, or at least only really increased because their native token has increased. So this has been a particularly Bitcoin-led rally. In fact, Bitcoin dominance has gone up, and that you generally do not see that in a bull market, right? Like, Bitcoin dominance is pushing towards like 56, 57%, which is multi-year highs, like three-year highs. So I think it's been slightly different. I think people have been expecting altcoin season. That's largely been replaced by meme coin season. And even then, it's been shaky when Bitcoin falls. So I think a lot of people who are in here day in, day out, and it's kind of frustrating because I think a lot of people come into crypto to, like, you know, they're looking to make life-changing money. They're looking to make many multiples. And Bitcoin at 60K, yeah, you can paint a picture that it goes to, you know, hundreds of K even this cycle. But the 10X has been difficult. And people who've been coming in trying to chase it, I think, have been hurt, particularly going after a lot of the different assets. There's still those stories, like particularly meme coins, you've had crazy stories. But if you were here like owning any sort of altcoin narrative, you've been punished so far this cycle.
And speaking of meme coins, you know, the shiny new asset class to institutional investors, it seems, you're seeing Franklin Templeton and, you know, Bloomberg publish articles about meme coins. You're seeing meme coins like Doge, Bonk, Whiff be referred to as majors. Where do you see things going with this meme coin asset class? Obviously, you have the Epic Duck, that launch was interesting. You're tweeting about Boden and Whiff. Like, where are we? Or go ahead, Nick.
Well, you just combined two critical things. One is Epic Duck, and then there's other things in the market. Let's first start on Epic Duck and explain to us, what's the price target that you have on your own token?
You're trying to throw me straight into jail. What's the price target on your two tokens?
Well, I didn't watch them.
Oh, sure. No comment on price target, but I'm quietly bullish, let's put it that way. It's been a lot of fun doing it, and there's like I'm assembling a team, so to speak, of people who are around me, the intern doing the social media and like a bunch of other people on the team. So I'm having way more fun with it over the last week than I was over the first 48 hours, where it was just like, fuck, I'm getting hounded here and people trying to cancel me left, right, and center. And now it's kind of been like a, I don't know, it's been a redemption arc for myself. I've just been like, right, I've got to do something with this. And it's been progressively easier.
So I'm curious what you actually think about, like, what is, like, what's the game plan for a meme coin that you created? Like, do you view this as similar to owning an NFT project, or like, what, like, how do you view, having a meme coin project?
I think it really depends. There are very different ways to launch a meme coin, right? Like, you can do a fair launch, or you can do a pre-sale, or you can do like a slight like token, like sell a proportion of the supply at origin. Like, this was a pump.fun. I literally just clicked a picture of a duck and said, like, create coin. Like, there was no, I didn't sit there and take in $30 million or $50 million and go, like, I promise you all this shit. I literally did, like, it was equivalent of you doing an NFT. Like, if you just, like, the fun of, like, launching your own NFT last cycle, pump.fun is like that, but with coins. You literally just pick an image, you pick the name, you click a button, and it's there. And suddenly, Zach XPT enters the chat. You know, it's like, what the hell am I going to, like, I don't really know from there, like, what my responsibility should be. It was some fun on a live stream we were having about, like, the idea that, like, cat and dog coins were, like, a bit boring. And, like, I remembered that as an old meme. But, like, I knew that people associate these things with you just, like, completely scamming it. So also, I completely burnt the dev supply, because I actually had to buy, like, as part of a pump.fun, you need to buy some to stop bots. So, like, I bought 4 Sol at Origin, which immediately turned into 15% of the devs of the supply. So I'd, like, burn
that.
That's
bearish. For those that don't know pump fun, seeing a dev with 15%, you don't buy that token. That's like, oh, right. Yeah, this thing's going to zero. Oh,
he's a scammer.
Yeah, he's going to dump this.
So I burnt that. So, like, again, I had very little association with it after that. But then I knew that it was associated with me, and I was just like, you know what? And it's not like I need to do this as well. I do plenty of other stuff. I've got a lot of stuff on my plate. So the idea that I would, like, needed to launch a meme coin and then, like, carry it was not what I was planning on doing. But now it's been, I don't know. Like, actually, I've enjoyed the process now, and, like, it's getting really fun. And, like, from here on in, at the start, it was, I had to, you know, set up the website, set up all the social media, set up the mods, the people who were going to run the social media with me. Then it was, like, speaking to different exchanges, getting on a market maker. Then it's been, like, getting verified at all these different places. It's been pay to play. Like, I've had to, like, pay to actually get a lot of this stuff set up. But now, like, I feel like it's a good thing. Like, at the same time, I kind of said to myself, it's slightly a reputation thing. Like, I don't just want to let this thing be the blue.
Oh, my God. Oh my God.
Some of the memes.
And it came out with that noise.
Yeah. Some of the memes from Epic Duck. Well, Mando, I mean, obviously, it's very interesting, and we'll have to see what comes of it. It fascinated me that it's getting, like, built out. So, obviously, wish you the best of luck with that. And I think Clemente and Nick both are owners of the Epic Duck token. Yeah.
Come on, man. I'm living it with you at the moment.
Come on.
I had to wake up every single day to a bear post next to Nob, and I was like, this guy, I can't take it anymore. And then they've slightly gotten better since then. But yeah.
The curse is broken, Mando. Clemente's a bull poster now. When he buys something, it goes up. I'm telling you, the curse is broken.
It does feel like your luck is turning, right? Like, it's I even said it. I enjoy a guy who puts their views on the blockchain. What's interesting to see is, like, you're a schizophrenic view. Like, you, every single day you come in with a different view. Whereas, you know, when people come on, it's like, okay, that's going to be his medium term view. It's like, in the afternoon, you're going to post a different post. Like, oh, it's down 20%. I'm out. I've moved into the next thing.
Yeah, we didn't know that, Mando. When Clemente was telling me and Nick that Sappy Seals were going to 10 ETH guarantee, and at 1.6, he was like, dude, this is your last chance. These things are sending right now. And no disrespect to Sappy Seals.
All my money.
And no disrespect to Sappy Seals or Wob. I just thought it was interesting that Clemente, like, really was that convinced, and then now it's just on to the next thing. Nick, it looked like you had something that you want to ask Mando.
Well, yeah, I'm wondering, like, you're talking about building out a team, you have a website, stuff like that. The roadmap on the site is kind of a joke. Do you think you have an NFT project? How do you view the difference between having a meme coin and an NFT project?
I don't think there's that dissimilar. And even for the NFT project we have, like, we try and make it like culture and also community involvement. So like for here, people just want stewardship, right? They don't want necessarily they just want you to like own it and like push it, but they're not expecting you to like completely save this thing or something like that. They just want to make sure that it doesn't just die. And I think sometimes when people create stuff and then they give it community, make it like fully community led, it also peters out and like, you know, it gets thrown at them later down the line. So I want to give it enough that it lasts and is strong and that I'm part of it, but like, it's not just about me. So at the start, it's been about just giving it the structure. And I don't think it's really about, like, people aren't laughing at the tweets that I put. They're laughing at the tweets from the account, right? Like, it's got its own culture about it, which is kind of exactly what I wanted to have happen. I think that's, you're more just like guiding it rather than anything like that. And then helping with things like exchanges, market makers, you know, different media stuff. Like, we're doing a spaces with Pump.Fun even this evening, right? Like for them, it's quite a cool thing for a coin, finally a Pump.Fun coin to do well. Like we're the second highest ever Pump.Fun coin. And it's difficult with Pump.Fun coins because they are less cabal-like, or if they are cabal-like, it's because the founders just dumped on everyone. But other than that, they are fair launch. So you can't they don't just go to 100 million. You know, like it's not just a Mew out the gate, right? This thing's at 100, 200 million because some cabal has just decided it's going to be that. To get it to even this level is very, very tough. Like they don't generally get this high. So it's stuff like that, like partnering with people that can maybe help push it. I've got a space with like Bing X, which is like building out the China community has been kind of random. They have really vibed with this thing.
How's your Mandarin?
Terrible. But like I've been doing like cross language spaces. Yeah, just that sort of stuff. Like just making it so that it gets known, using your platform to make sure it gets known. But I think at this stage, like it's also got to have its own legs, and I think it's getting there. So I'll just see how it goes.
I mean, love to hear it. It's also worth noting that you can actually get legit market making for fungible tokens in a way that doesn't exist yet for NFTs. So that's an interesting wrinkle, at least from my perspective. Maybe you feel differently about, you know, meme coins versus NFTs. On the kind of broader meme coin topic, and then we can talk about, you know, some other kind of technical things. But, you know, when you look at like Whiff, Boden, Harambe, you know, Bonk, are there any that are particularly interesting for you here? Do you have big positions in any of these? Like, how are you thinking about this?
So if you remember, we came on the show about this time last year, me and OSF, and we said at the time that we were going to dial up risk because we felt as though we were coming out of the bear market this time exactly. And we bought a bunch of meme coins. We bought like Mog, Pepe at the time, and we sat there for 6 months and they did nothing. Like literally nothing. And Solana did like a 5x in that period. And we were like, oh God, we knew we should have taken more risk, but we took it in the wrong stuff. And then since like the start of this year, all of those, everything just went parabolic, right? Like as soon as Whiff started moving, everything started moving. So we have had big positions in like a bunch of those, mainly Pepe and Whiff and Mog and like Boden as well. We really bought into this being an asset class, because the good thing about meme coins as well during a cycle is that they tend to have like really good positive momentum because you get listings. So like firstly, the tokenomics are normally pretty good, right? Like sometimes they have like foundations like Bonk does, but generally like they are really good. Everything's out there, so you're not just going to get progressively dumped on. And then secondly, they can get really good listings, and that's what happened with Whiff, right? It got one listing, two listings, and then suddenly it's at like a billion, then it's at two, and now it's getting listed on Coinbase. And like they tend to have that sort of like parabolic move because of that. So we knew that like if they started to catch, they were going to be good trades. I think meme coins have really dominated a lot of other sectors this cycle. Like they've been ignored for a long time, but I think before that, and then they've done really well this cycle. I'm a believer that they are going to be a very strong onboarding tool still. They've clearly been stronger than NFTs this cycle, apart from maybe ordinals, and they've been definitely been stronger than other altcoins. Like, so I think part of that's the friction, or like, is much less for meme coins because of the way they get listed and people just more comfortable with fungible tokens than non-fungible. Because of the state we're in, like, that's just been an easier onboarding mechanism even this cycle. And then the tokenomics bit has been more, has been better than other altcoins. You know, like, people prefer them. Like, Worldcoin yesterday said they're gonna increase their supply by 20%.
How do you have to do that?
I know. Well, they said it's like insane FTV, but I'm a believer. I think I said this on our show the other day. Beanie put out a good post the other day, which is like, I think Bitcoin's the original meme coin. Like, Bitcoin, it's a decentralized ledger, but like, one of the main value propositions that we all have to believe it's valuable, and then that's why it becomes a form of transactional exchange. I think that's how meme coins work as well. Like, they speed run that. Doge, I actually think, has got a much better chance of being seen as a currency than half the other coins in existence. Like, maybe ETH and Solana, but then it's Doge. Most people have heard of Doge. Most people would, like, they can understand it as a form of currency that you would transfer between each other. And yes, it requires belief in its value, but it's also then a decentralized ledger in very similar to the ways that Bitcoin was. So, like, yeah, you can say it's different, but a lot of the same value propositions are. But that also means that they are tied very similar to how Bitcoin is as well. Like, when Bitcoin goes down, a lot of these have been destroyed. And when they don't work out, they're immediately scams, because if they don't manage to hold that level of memetic value, like, they're gone, and they're never ever coming back. There's no DAO with utility. There's no revenue burn. Like, they are gone. So they burn. They can burn very fast and die very quickly. But they can also, you know, they're not just zero sum. Like, Doge is 30 billion. Like, there is, you could say on a long enough time horizon that could go to zero, but it could also go higher and be seen as like an actual currency in the same way that, it's silly to say this, but like, fiat currencies used to be backed by gold, right? Yep. Like, 100 years ago. And then we moved away from that. And now they are literally backed by memes. We are backed by nothing. They are backed by the idea that we all think they have a value. That's the same for Bitcoin, and it's exactly the same for these currencies. So I think the idea that these things can be the best casino in the world right now is true, because they're not just zero sum. Like, you can have a better this outcome where they have a carrying value of hundreds of millions, sometimes billions of dollars. So I do think they are going to be an asset class. That article yesterday was crazy to read, that all these hedge funds are piling in. But they said, like, towards the end of the article, it also said, like, funds are going to raise meme coin funds in the same way they raised NFT funds last cycle. And I 100% believe that. You're going to see funds that come in and be like, look, we are going to be a meme coin fund. Like, I could probably raise that tomorrow.
Well, think about some of the people in the space.
Said, look, I'm going to try and raise this fund. I reckon I could get funding for that in a minute. Not that I would want to, but I think a bunch of people will do that.
I think you should do it personally as well. But think about some of the people in the space. There's like an army of people who publicly post their meme coin wins and do fairly well. Like, I don't think it's surprising to think, like, they've been reached out to be like, hey, if I give you capital, you can lose it all, but like, here's what we're looking for. Like, I'm positive it's happened.
Yeah, I think you'll see some crazy people probably running meme coin funds, but you probably want someone crazy running a meme coin fund.
Yeah, I mean, look, we talked to Joe McCann previously, and Joe McCann from Asymmetric is kind of the original institutional meme coin person for this cycle. I think he was all about Bonk and you know, some of these meme coins in September and October of last year. Earlier this week, we had Ram Ahluwalia from Lumida Wealth, you know, big wealth manager on the show, crypto native, and he said that he thinks that right now we are post mid cycle. We are more than halfway done with this cycle. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it really depends on where you think that Bitcoin gets to. My personal view is that with the institutional funds that come in, I think we can have a cycle, but I'd like to think that this is more going to be a medium-term adoption than just like a pump on leverage that all collapses, which kind of what the FTX one was last cycle. Like, it was like a levered pump up, and then we all just got absolutely eviscerated on the way down. Like, once there is 50 billion, 100 billion, maybe more in these sort of institutional funds, you will get cycles, but not to the same extent. And I actually think they could be longer and like less volatile. So like my view on this is that we could be entering less of just like a pump and then we're going to wait 4 years to next cycle, and more just like a sustained period, which, yeah, you can have. It would kind of look a bit more like the S&P. That's what I would say. Like, it's volatile, but like the down moves aren't like,
that sounds so gross,
5%. They're more like 40-50, and then, or like less, and then we kind of come back up. Like, once you have institutional money starting coming in, it becomes slightly less aggressive. So I think you could say that I would maybe not deny that, like, we are in the midst of a bull run. Like, if you ever see people like, oh, we're waiting for the bull run, this is a raging bull. I think we are going to, I think we will go to like 150 plus on Bitcoin. I think we'll probably near 200K. But people are always asking for the timeline on that, because they're assuming it's just going to be a left translated cycle. Or right. I think this is going to be a longer cycle. I think we're going to see sustained inflows to these ETFs. I actually think the ETF inflows are going to increase. I think the big wealth management firms, Morgan Stanley came out today, which is a huge one. UBS, Goldman Sachs, they're all going to start directing billions of dollars into these things. Like, people assume that it's going to slow down on that front. I think it's only just going to start. Like, you're going to see pension funds, you're going to see state funds in the US, you're going to see big wealth management. So I think the ETF inflows will actually go up towards maybe even more like 500 million. And it's been an average of 250 million a day. Like, I think we could see much higher towards the second half this year. And I think it will also increase in Asia as well. You've got, if Hong Kong opens up and mainland China's not been able to buy Bitcoin, at least above board, more just via mining, that could be another, you know, tens of billions. They've said 25, but it could be higher. Like, they massively downplayed what it could be in the US. So I'm very, very bullish on Bitcoin medium-term adoption here. And I think that could drive a more sustained cycle. But I also think if you're owning altcoins, you could get hammered. I think if you're owning, you've got to be very, very careful on your narratives in those scenarios.
Absolutely. And Signal has a question. Just real quick, I want to point out though, Mando, these ETFs have only been trading for 71 business days, right? 71 business days. TradFi does not move quickly. You're pointing out the Morgan Stanleys of the world. When Rom came on, he pointed out that a lot of wealth managers actually, because of the way that their funds are structured, they're actually still not even able to buy the Bitcoin ETF. So maybe that's why MicroStrategy has pumped as hard as it is, because, you know, TradFi is treating MicroStrategy as like a proxy for Bitcoin because it's the most directly correlated to Bitcoin. So there are a lot of factors at play. I love the way that you're thinking about this. Signal, question for Mando.
Yeah, Mando, well, last year when you came on the show, I remember you talking about, it was Pepe, and I remember you and OSF saying that you're like accumulating like trillions of Pepe at the time, which saying this now, but that felt really like far down the risk curve. I suppose, like, looking at today, what would be your point of view of like going further down the risk curve? Would that be, for example, looking at something like runes, or would it be something completely different where you see a future ROI?
Yeah, I would say it's definitely more difficult. And I think you've got to be wary of going. This is what I've said, like, people have gone down the risk curve in various different ways, and only really memes have been the one that's caught on going down the risk curve, and maybe ordinals. I think being early to narratives is always strong during a bull run. Like, if this bull run gets sustained and you're early to a narrative, like, it can speed run to billions of dollars. So like, yeah, runes is probably not a bad place to consider, but like, things have already speed run to like 300 million there. So like, you have to be early to that. So I think it's more, if I'm really looking to looking for a 10x, I've got to be forward thinking rather than thinking I'm going to buy an existing narrative and probably hope for like a 3 to 5x. I've probably got to be thinking a few steps ahead here, and then hoping that I catch one which does like a which other people catch up to, and then things can speed run to 100 million. It's definitely less easy thinking going down the risk curve here, in my opinion.
And when you talk about the risk curve, we can talk about NFTs a little bit. So obviously NFTs were insanely hot last cycle to the point that they attracted mainstream attention really in a way that like people hadn't seen before. Paris Hilton going on Jimmy Fallon's show, talking about Bored Apes, Eminem and Snoop Dogg performing at the Video Music Awards with Bored Apes all over the screen. Really wild stuff. Right now, the position from everyone is NFTs are dead. I saw so many bottom signals yesterday. I was pointing them out to Clemente left and right. People saying like, what could possibly pump Ethereum NFTs? This, that, and the other thing. I'm not saying that yesterday was the definitive bottom, but I do feel like right now we're in the trough of the bottom. I don't know how long this lasts, but where do you see things going with NFTs? I've been saying at a minimum, video games are going to bring attraction to NFTs. I don't know how long that takes for really fun games like Shrapnel to start to get, you know, mainstream adoption, or you know, Honeyland and these different gaming entities actually getting big audiences, the big audiences wanting to have in-game assets, the in-game assets being NFTs, the audience that's playing the game not caring that they're NFTs and just slowly kind of adopting that way. I should mention we have a little breaking news. CryptoPunk number 635, Alien Punk, was just sold for 4,000 Ethereum, $12.4 million. This is the fourth highest US dollar sale in the history of CryptoPunks. So meanwhile, while everyone's saying NFTs are dead, that's happening. No one's going to care. This is not going to be on television. No one's going to care about this. What do you make of where we're at with NFTs and how do you see this playing out?
Look, I love NFTs. I really, really love the concept of digital ownership, and I really like the idea of digital collectibles. I think in the same way that like people who think their meme coins can rally if WIF goes down at this cycle, like you're kind of kidding yourself. Like it's all, you got to think about how big the market was versus like the market leader. I put out a tweet, I remember like 18 months ago, maybe 2 years ago, which was like, if Yuga Labs fails, like we could be here for like multi-years of issues. At the time, Yuga Labs assets were about 60% or 65% of the whole market cap of NFTs.
Wow.
And we've basically seen a massive destruction of value as all of that has come lower. And that's just eviscerated the whole space, if I'm honest. Like everyone got hurt and that was what everyone's bags were in. In the same way that WIF probably accounts for the next, I don't know, 20 Solana meme coins combined. Like it's you've got to think about like the market leader and like what that impact would be if that goes down 50%, 60%, 70%. It's very difficult for anything else to rally. Like Pudgy Penguins has been the best story in NFTs so far this cycle. And it's pretty much done a 2.5x and he's crushed it. Like he's absolutely crushed it. And you've got to think like how difficult that must have been in this cycle. So I think now, personally, I really liked what Yuga did last week, which is selling some of this baggage that they have. They're less important for the market now. But if you start to can get bullish on some of the bigger names and even on Punks again, Punks has been a little bit more difficult. These sort of big sales will really help and sort of like bring eyes back to it. But like there's all those loans, right? And that's hurt with the way that Blur has been incentive farming. I do think that when Blast comes out in a month's time, a lot of the incentives for Blur will be slightly diminished. And so perhaps less of the farming, like, you know, pump and dump and games will slightly diminish in the space and people will come back as like real buyers for some of these assets. So I'm definitely more bullish on NFTs because I feel like I'm more bullish on now the leaders than I was, you know, 12 months ago. And I also think that the Blur dynamic, which has been personally, I think has been hurting the space, I think will diminish after Blast comes out.
It's a double-edged sword because it's nice to have someone like Pac-Man building, a quality startup in an NFT specific quality startup, right? I mean, it really is like Blur is an NFT platform.
I'm sitting here as someone who really benefited from everything right. that he built. Like, I'm not saying that it wasn't like that, but I do think the incentives that if you're being paid, irrespective. Like if there's a separate cash flow where you're getting paid to own an NFT, let's say you bought an NFT at 1,000, right? And you know you can sell it at 990 and you can still be net positive because of I'm getting some Blast or Blur token down the line. Like there is like a natural drag on the asset price there because there is this added incentive. Like you care less about losing money on the asset itself. So like there's been a slight drag, I think, to the market there. You obviously needed new inflows. But in a net world, like you can still like sell, you can still take the floor price down and assume that you're going to make money. You saw it, like all the Blur farmers lost money but they made some of them net made because they did it on, they made it from Blast. So like there's been that net drag, I think, to the market, which I think a lot of people have like complained about over this cycle, and not saying that it's not been a good product, but as that slightly diminishes, I think we will also see a bit more of a pump. And like I said, I think Yuga having a bit more of a apes focus, less maybe a bit more IRL, less metaverse strategy, I think could really help them bring back the collectible side of stuff. Punks doing well would really help as well. I said it on the show last week. I think you saw the bottom in Bored Apes with all those stories. I really, really did. Like, I would have bought Bored Apes again. It was the first time. And I said it. I literally said, I want to hedge myself because I would have bought all of these right now because I think they could do a 2x. I'm not saying they're going to do like a 10x, but I think they can easily go back up to 25 here.
Very interesting. Clemente, you have a question for Mando?
Yeah, Mando, in terms of NFTs as a whole, do you take the blockchain or kind of where you're placing your bets into consideration at all, like ETH NFTs versus Solana versus Ordinals? The narrative for Ordinals, for example, is the market cap of Bitcoin is, 3 or 4x more than Ethereum, and the volume is kind of going to go there over time. Solana is cheaper, way easier to kind of transact, go back and forth, and Ethereum is kind of somewhere in the middle, but you also have kind of these legacy brands built on it, like Pudgy Penguins, Bored Apes, Azuki, et cetera. So I'm curious how you're thinking about that.
Yeah, I think you have to think about that stuff for sure. Like, it's definitely a bit like you look at it on like a macro level and be like, what chain is this on? Ordinals are great because there's no one's lost any money. Like, you know this from charts, like even in the NFT cycle, like no, in all the major Ordinals collections, it's been up only. There's no bag holders. There's no community members. You know, like we are all doing well. And you really get tested when stuff goes down in like a bear. But those charts, in the same way that you buy new coins in a bull, you buy new narratives. Like Ordinals was the perfect narrative. Like new tech on Bitcoin, massive TVL, like perfect charts. No one's bag holding airdrops. Like this was incredible narrative. The runes stuff, like maybe a slightly disappointed. Obviously, you can't just like make Bitcoin ETH or Solana, like it still obviously has UI UX issues. You have like the meme pool, like if it takes 11 minutes for each transaction to be approved, then that's not going to be as nice for some people, and it feels a bit janky. There's some stuff with like the OP cat where they're trying to build like layer twos and ZK on Bitcoin, which could be interesting this cycle. I think Ordinals, I'm not saying that it's the top, but I think the gains will be less easy from here just because the runes stuff is now out. And that was such a powerful narrative. Like the airdrop narrative was so powerful for them. So I think you're going to get really work out, like, were you owning good collections here that could last? So I'm a little bit more wary on that as like a narrative, unless runes really take off. My view on runes is that Bitcoin TVL is much higher, but Bitcoin TVL as well is full of Bitcoin maxis who just don't really want to spend it in the same way as, like, they don't see it as much as a utility coin. They see it as owning like a hedge on the world blowing up. And like, even Kate, like you saw what Casey even wrote last week. He tweeted out, the job is to stack sats here. The job is to stack sats. It was the most Bitcoin maxi statement I saw from the creator of Ordinals, the creator of runes. He's basically saying, don't get it twisted. Like, we're not here to own these things. You should be stacking stats, which I thought was so crazy from the creator. You, like, to be what I would consider like a Bitcoin maxi state, in my opinion. Even there, I think the capital is a bit more sticky. Just to say, like, it's on Bitcoin, therefore it should be 10x what it is, or 5x what it is in ETH, I think is kind of a not well thought argument in my opinion. I like Solana, but because I think the protection of royalties has meant like you've had more business like projects on there. Mad Lads has done well. I think I think that is like a medium term. I can be very, very bullish on Solana, but NFTs just haven't won at the adoption cycle so far this cycle, and that may change. Like, it does feel as though, again, it's shifting back there, and people are just here to gamble at the end of the day. And if meme coins start to slightly like ebb, we could see people come back, and I love NFTs. Like, I love the communities they build. I think they actually build stronger communities in some ways than meme coins. Like, they're more identity based and people like get into them more. So, and I also loved the bit about, if you're really just here for the gambling, I love the minting, right? Like, you don't get that with meme coins, right? Like, I would love, and I said this on a show maybe even yesterday, like, I'd love for, we all put in the same amount to a meme coin, and it's a bit more like an NFT mint, right? Like, you get out more, you get out less, and you have like gamified mint of a meme coin. I think would be pretty fun, because that was always so fun. Like, did I get a rare? Did I get a boring? Did I get a flaw? Like, how did I get out of this? I used to love that stuff, and we haven't really had stuff like that for a while. So I do hope.
Have you looked at like the 404 side of things? Because that's what you just described is exactly what's happening. Like, there's a mint today on Solana called Fluffies that raised 7,404 SOL in 24 hours. So it's $1 million, substantial. And the way that they're doing the airdrop is for every 1.34 SOL you sent, you get the NFT. Anything over that or not divisible by 1.34, you get the tokens. Then on top of that, depending on the NFT that you get, it's 10K for a common, 15 for an uncommon, 25 for a mythic, 50,000 coins for a one of one. So you have instant liquidity. And they're putting a majority of this into the liquidity pool. So it makes it almost fun to like get the pictures again and start like trading it. Then I think there's going to be ARBs on like secondary markets. This just seems like it's like the meme coin, but with pictures attached style that I've been pushing for, where you can also swap the tokens for a new mint. It's like the loot box style. Like, I think I'm going to be keeping close eyes on this. I think it's going to be fun.
Yeah, I think 404, I've spoken to a few different projects who are thinking about doing that as like the next. I do think it does have that nice element of both, and it could work out well. It remains to be seen. I don't really know why none of those collections have really. Pandora was the first one, right? And then I haven't really heard about Pandora for a while. So like, I actually just don't know why that hasn't really taken off in the same way that it would. But I do think that is. That could be an interesting sector for sure.
Well, a lot of this stuff. Go ahead, Nick.
We haven't seen the actual coin side of the 404. Well, actually, no. There was one that was. There were a couple when this first came out that I saw absolutely ripped. There's this guy CTO Larson I check out occasionally on YouTube, and he was talking about this trend. The moment that he published that video, a lot of the things ended up pumping, and people just aped into those tokens blindly. But I also think like the whole NFT side of things, it felt like during the 2021, 2022 sort of run there, it felt like there was more of a community of people, and there was like an argument. It was like, this is the future, when the price was just going up like astronomically. This is literally the future. And then the price is going down. Everyone's like, I guess it's not the future. Or like dumping their bags and then being like, yeah, I don't know about this. We're going to move on to the next, whatever the next narrative is. It's just harder. Some of the stuff that you said, you know, sort of about like Bitcoin and like maybe some of like the swings are more muted now, like as it heads towards being more like S&P style performance. Slightly more volatile. But it's hard to see where it, like, I mean, I guess, you know, Bitcoin's gone through similar cycles where people are like, oh, I guess Bitcoin's not the future. When the price goes down, when the price goes up, suddenly it is the future. It's different though, versus, Bitcoin's become like a gold replacement or gold alternative. Whereas like, what are NFTs a replacement for? Art? Like, is that the main thing that we're replacing there? There are other technical things that I've seen where like, obviously NFTs get tied to like inventory and other things. And there's definitely a use for it. It's just the way that it has existed so far. It feels like, I don't know, like what's the catalyst that we see coming?
Yeah, it's really just collectibles. But at the same time, like, how many crazies were there when you grew up as a kid? I remember loads.
And how many crazies?
Crazies.
Like different crazies that you have, like different things that people used to collect, and then now they're just kind of nothings, right? Like they probably all went to zero as well. Like I think you also have to accept with collectibles, very few last. Like, and even also like the project itself, the utility that maybe that they even were trying to give, like the actual company behind that collectible may have even gone like defunct, or like what they were trying to do died, and really just the collectible has existed. Like the Pokemon stuff, like who really played the game? Like the actual card game, or some of these collectibles, I don't know. Like I remember them going ebbing and flowing even in their success. But then like only after like 30 years was like, oh, 20 years. It's like, oh yeah, this is such a cool collectible to keep. So I think they've replaced collectibles, but we probably have to accept that even in IRL collectibles, like a lot of stuff just dies. Like even on like tabletop games, how many people have tried to be Magic the Gathering? How many people have tried to be all these other like forms of collectibles? And they do it for like a year or two, and then there's a litany of just like death, essentially. But was that a failure? Was that a scam? It is difficult because I agree with you. I did like the digital identity stuff, and that kind of has taken a little bit of a back step, because I think there were like mad ideas about like we were all going to be in a metaverse within like the next 6 months, and we were all just going to be living this like second life existence, and that never happened.
Are you buying any NFTs right here?
As I said, like I am definitely looking at ETH NFTs again. Like as soon as Bored Apes decided that they were going to like unshackle the gaming heavy stuff, that was just the best thing. And I think they should continue to do that. Like genuinely, I think they should push on with IRL, like clubhouses, and they should just push on with more maybe like streetwear style activations where it feels more like this, like a bit more like a Supreme meets Soho House sort of feel, rather than this like gaming metaverse thing, which hasn't really, we all did well because everyone got ApeCoin and everyone like wanted to believe it. And you know, most people I think made money out of that, but now it's just a bit of a burden. And I think it would do better without it. But yeah, I do think, I genuinely do think there'll be, this is not a terrible time to think that ETH NFTs could have a rebound.
I just think all this stuff takes such a long time and people are so short-sighted. It's completely insane. It's going to take years. Like to me, 8 years is nothing. Like think about what technology has developed in the last 8 years. Like to me, the big thing that stands out is like ChatGPT. But other than that, between now and 8 years ago, how is your life so much different from a technology perspective? Obviously, iPhones get better. The cameras in the phones get better. Online services get better. But besides ChatGPT, I can't really think of any like earth-shattering, maybe wireless headphones a little bit, like ear pods and stuff came about over the past 8 years. It takes so long for this stuff to develop that you just have to really be patient. And until people have a real reason to buy and hold an NFT or buy an NFT for a high price, it's just going to take so long. I'm not trying to like upset anybody in the audience that has a bunch of NFTs that they're looking to sell, that's, you know, desiring that the price go up in the near term. It just takes a long time. So Mando, you come from TradFi. A couple quick hitter questions about equities that are related to crypto right now. Coinbase versus MicroStrategy. We had Ram Ahluwalia from Lumido Wealth on the show earlier this week. He just sent me a DM right now. And he said, I take it back. The Coinbase chart is ugly as hell. I hadn't really prepared for that question going into the interview. I think it's too expensive. He does think they will beat earnings. Their market reaction is different, though. The vibe in this earnings season is punishing growth stocks. MicroStrategy or Coinbase, Mando?
Yeah, it's a difficult one. I would be probably a buyer of Coinbase here than of a MicroStrategy. MicroStrategy trades at a premium, right? There was a lot of different hedge funds had this trade, right, where they were shorting MicroStrategy and you own levered Bitcoin, because MicroStrategy is just levered Bitcoin. It, like you own the equity of a company which owns Bitcoin, and the valuation, like how you'd value it, would be on the value of that equity, which is basically just a levered play on the Bitcoin. So that's why when Bitcoin goes up like 100%, MicroStrategy essentially goes up like 300%, because it's something like 3 or 4 times levered. Essentially, is how the stock should react. So your bet there is really, do I want to own Coinbase or do I want to own levered Bitcoin? And levered Bitcoin, which already trades at a premium because a lot of hedge funds have been shorting it versus even what its implied valuation should be at. Coinbase, I think the best move Coinbase made was Base, right? Like, I don't know how they're making like tens of millions so far this year from Base. That will really soften any leverage they had as well to the general crypto market. The thing about Coinbase is that you just have all this regulatory stuff. It's so weird that in the US, like, they shouldn't just be championing Coinbase versus all the
putting
other
putting up obstacles. Yeah,
it's so weird. Like, genuinely, it's really weird to me, because like, Coinbase is even actively being like, right, we're gonna get a license in Canada, we're gonna go to the UK and flirt with them, we're gonna go to Paris. And like, Binance is already 60% of the spot market, right? Like, and they basically kicked it out. Like, they should be trying to make Coinbase as strong. It's the US policy towards crypto is always perplexed me. Like, it really, really has. Because for me, and I sit here, and I personally think that crypto is one of the biggest land grabs for the dollar that I have seen since petrodollars, like back in the 1970s. You're sitting here and everything is basically tied to the dollar. Yeah, it's tied to Bitcoin, but actually stable coins and everything is priced in the dollar, and everyone from any country can basically get around capital controls and put their money into dollars. Like, look at where crypto is adopted the most, and it's all countries where their currency
sucks.
Terrible. And they can insta-convert into a stable coin, and they can sit there and probably earn like 7% yield or whatever it is, or what you can get from stable coins these days. So for me, like, this is just massive dollar power if they do it right. And weirdly, like, they don't see it as that. They see it as like, they want to protect consumers. If I was sitting there and I was looking at, like, I really want to make the US the most powerful country in the world, I'd be like, right, we're going to push crypto, but we're also going to push US stablecoins, and we're going to make these things ubiquitous, and we're going to make sure all the big US institutions that help support that are dominating the world, because then we can make dollar power as strong as possible, and, you know, that's just control.
Yeah, I mean, so a couple notes on that, and then the last question for me. So, I mean, hopefully when Circle goes public, maybe that'll happen. Maybe a change in administration leads to that. The other little note is that United States citizens don't understand that in other countries, there's a real need for stable currency, because their currencies have been ravaged over like a 100-year period. If you live in Argentina, if you live in Venezuela, if you can get access to even stable coins, which obviously you'd prefer to get something like Bitcoin that in theory is going to go up forever, but even stable coins is better than just getting debased 10% month over month if you live in Argentina and you're a doctor. I mean, come on now, right? Last question. So Ram, who came on the show, I know I keep bringing him up, but he just came on 2 days ago, and he's a TradFi guy also. He loves NVIDIA stock, obsessed with it. NVIDIA stock has outperformed Bitcoin over the past 5 years, which is wild. Maybe even 6 years or 7 years. I mean, it has been a crazy run on NVIDIA. Do you think it'll outperform Bitcoin over the next 5 years? This is a little AI versus crypto question. What do you think?
Yeah, this has been a weird one, because I think people have like bashed crypto with the performance of AI, and it like that just seems like such a like again a silly way to look at stuff. They've both been incredible performers. Like, if you look at, maybe not over the last 3 years, I know Bitcoin's obviously had that like levered smash down and then back up, but over the last 10 years, like, they've both been incredible things to lever yourself to. Like, lever yourself to both. That's what you should be doing. Absolutely. Not just being like, I'm just going to be one or the other.
People want to know what the best is, man. Or they say, you know, Kobe or LeBron, right? Or like Jordan or LeBron. They want to know who's the best, Ronaldo or Messi. What do you think next 5 years?
So if you really want me to analyze NVIDIA, like, NVIDIA is an incredible company. Like, the money that they are spinning off in terms of free cash flow is unbelievable at this stage. The difficulty there is working out how long they're going to be able to keep it. There are a lot of people who look back to like the 01, 02 big infrastructure, like Cisco or some of the chip makers back then. And actually their lead didn't last, like their monopoly didn't last as long. And you should have bought like Apple or Amazon or some of the other like operators in that space, the people who actually use the technology rather than the people who create like or help provide the infrastructure for the technology. It's slightly different this time. In that NVIDIA makes chips that nobody else makes, right? China's been trying to make these chips, and they are trying. This is why, you know, it's banned, like, some of the exports for NVIDIA to China, is because they have not been able to get to the same level as US chip technology, and they're probably still many years behind. Like generally they can normally catch up, but even the latest chips from like the top Chinese chip producers, that they're not at the same level as Nvidia. So Nvidia has this like this lead, and it really is how long they can protect that chip technology. And that's always a difficult one to last. I do think that they're gonna perform slightly better than like Cisco did, which was a good stock, but not like the incredible stock. Nvidia has such a dominant position. But there are some other big like chip providers, even in Western markets, like AMD, which has done well. I would say that Nvidia probably underperforms Bitcoin for the next few years. But I still I wouldn't have a strong view on that. I think Nvidia will do incredibly well still.
Yeah, I mean, look, if Nvidia outperforms Bitcoin over 5 years, any amount of time, then that's just absolutely wild, because you're talking about like one guy's publicly traded company that he's built over the past 20 something years outperforming like the most robust technology network that we have. I mean, it's pretty insane, like the new internet money. And like Jensen Huang's like, yeah, my chips are pretty damn dope. I don't know if you've noticed. I mean, that's pretty wild stuff. I appreciate the response. I'm fascinated by AI versus crypto, and I'm just fascinated by Nvidia's performance. So it is a really juicy topic of conversation, in my opinion. Mando, we loved having you on, man. This was absolutely awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, you should follow. Yeah, you should follow Mando on Twitter at RectMando, at RektMando, for fabulous insight being dropped basically every day. Mando, anywhere else we should send people? They should check out the Rec Guy NFT collection, or are we telling them to check out Epic Duck? What are we doing?
Check out it all, man. Like I do a daily newsletter. If you guys
right, Mando Minutes,
where I try and break down all the stuff that's going on across crypto, macro, NFTs, and then yeah, I've been involved in a few projects now. Rec Guy NFT, Epic Duck now on the token side. We have Dgens for some other stuff, and we just have a bunch of stuff. But yeah, if you're following me, you'll probably keep up to date with all the stuff I'm doing. But if you want something daily, we're just like insights of what's going on. Yeah, the newsletter is probably the easiest place to start.
Absolutely. The newsletter, in my opinion, one of the best in the space. MandoMinutes.com, MandoMinutes.com. Mando, always appreciate you having you on. First time you're on solo. Thanks so much for coming, man.
Thanks a lot, guys. I really appreciate it. And you guys crush it.
Thanks, brother. See ya.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's our show. We run this Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern time. It's available on Apple and Spotify podcasts, Twitter spaces, X platform video, YouTube. Go and subscribe to the YouTube. Hit the like button. We'll really appreciate it. We will be back tomorrow to close out the week strong. Thanks for listening, everyone. And yeah, we'll catch you tomorrow. See you later.
You didn't end the show. Here we go. All right. See you guys. That's the second time.